This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 32, The New Year. Happy New Year and happy 2013. This is Michael Rowe, and this is our first episode of GamesAtWork.biz in 2013. Unfortunately, due to a technical glitch, we lost the first few minutes of Michael Martin and myself kicking off the new year. Michael's in Budapest. Phaedra, unfortunately, was unable to join us on this week's episode, and so we're going to jump right in with a discussion about the Jawbone Up. Have a great year.
Stuff from Jawbone, or maybe you don't remember.
I remember we talked about you were looking at getting one, and yes. I don't know what you ended up getting.
So in the end, I bought the Up, and I've been pleased
and
with
it's
it
now
so far.
Yours?
Pardon me?
It's yours?
It's right
up
here. It's
yours?
Right here on my wrist. Here, listen.
It's up yours?
That's it right there.
So it really is up yours?
I'm deliberately ignoring that joke for the third time. Here it is.
I'm going to keep throwing it at you.
Hey, if you bought one, it could be up yours too.
Is the Up the one that had the microphone plug, or is it the Bluetooth one?
Yes.
It's the microphone plug.
It has the microphone plug, so you have to plug it into your device in order to synchronize it and pull the data off of the device and put that then into your computer, wherever that might be. So
how's that working for you?
Actually, pretty well. The reason why I chose this particular device over the others, you know, the Nike Fuel Band and some of the other ones that were out there, was because this one does sleep tracking. And it does a couple of interesting things around sleep tracking. I'll post a picture or two so that we can include them in the show notes. But what's really quite interesting about this is that you're able to not only track when did you go to bed, how long did you stay awake before you started going to sleep, and what your patterns were of deep sleep versus light sleep. And then on top of all this, it has the additional benefit of you can say, well, look, I need to be awake around 6 o'clock or so in order to get up on time. So it can watch your sleep patterns, determine when you are entering a period of light sleep around the time that you need to get up, and awake you when you will feel most refreshed based upon your sleep cycles.
Cool.
And so for me, that was a winner to go with this device versus the others, because the other ones had, you know, Bluetooth, you know, of varying ways of communicating instantly with your phone and your other devices, which I think really is quite good and should be something this one can do too, especially considering it's Jawbone who makes this device. But they didn't have the sleep tracking capabilities or anything of what I've just described. So for me, I will go through the effort of plugging it into my phone frequently in order to have that benefit.
So are you finding that you're changing your sleep habits because of this?
So far, what it's done is it's made me more aware of my sleep habits, which I think is good. What I have decided I'm going to do is I will let the device wake me up. So I've not done that yet because it's been vacation time and it's been a little bit more relaxed in terms of when I need to be absolutely somewhere in the mornings. But that's going to change on Monday for sure. So what I've said is I'm going to let the device wake me up and I'll see if I actually do feel more refreshed in the morning as a result of that.
Cool.
So yeah. I'm at a shot.
I've been reading up a lot lately about self-quantification.
Okay.
Which is exactly what you're doing.
I see.
Which is, you know, using tools and monitoring devices and other things to build a model of yourself and to quantify things in your life and actually track and measure and metric those things. One of the really cool things that I got for Christmas this year is the Human Face of Big Data book, which I know you and I talked about. I don't think we talked about it on the show.
Not this book on the show now.
Yeah, but a really, really awesome book. It has a companion app and customized QR codes that aren't really QR codes, but they behave like them. And as you're reading the book, every once in a while you'll see a... And it is a big book of big data, you know, almost a foot and a half tall, foot plus wide, heavy, 300 odd pages or so. Really, really big book. But you have these little markers on certain pages, and you take the iPhone app or the iPad app or whatever, and you point it at the page, and it will fire up related videos about the story that you're looking at. Sometimes it's a TED Talk. Sometimes it's an ad for a game or a game play section where they're actually demonstrating some game that's coming out. Very, very, very cool book. And the whole idea of self-quantification is something that I feel is becoming more and more relevant and more and more, I don't want to use the word common yet because I think we're still on the leading edge of it. But it's something that I feel that, you know, 2013, 2014 are really going to change how people look at their health and other things, because you now have things like the Up from Jawbone, the Nike Fuel Band. I've got like a Zag one that does heart monitoring when you're doing walks or runs. You've got your cell phone, which can do things like leverage the accelerometer to do a pedometer type behavior, etc. And you're constantly carrying around devices that can capture information about you and your environment. Now, the one thing I saw, and I can't remember if it was the Up or the Nike one or the other one, that was also trying to do calorie intake.
Yeah. So the Up allows, Up has a number of features to it. So it has pedometer kind of features. You can track, you know, like I went on a hike in Salzburg. And so I was able to say, I'm on a hike right now. It's pretty strenuous. And, you know, keep track of it for the, you know, what I'm doing for the next hour. So I can analyze that data later. It also allows you to say, oh, I picked up some Glühwein, you know, at the market. So I'm going to dial up Glühwein. That was kind of, you know, cool.
So how do you do that on the band itself, or is that the app side of it?
That's on the app side, because the band itself really has only one major interface to it, and that's one button.
That's what I was trying to figure out, because I was reading up and they're like, well, you can track calories, and I'm like, well, how?
you're reading up on it?
Yes, I was reading up on Up and other things. But it was not yours.
No, but so I've not used that so much. I also haven't used very much the feature where you can highlight your mood. So you can signal, you know, are you feeling energized and great, or really, you know, like you're dragging. And if you do that, excuse me, frequently enough, then the device will be able to correlate, you know, what are you eating? How much exercise are you getting? Is there a correlation between eating good things and exercising more and feeling better? Oh, my goodness. Yes, there is. Yes,
but remember, correlation does not mean causation.
No, it doesn't.
And that's the thing that all these apps don't remind people of, right?
Sure. But you know, we all, I think we've said this before, we kind of like sometimes to be tricked anyway.
Yes.
So if we are doing things that are healthy and good for us, and then we are feeling better, and we mentally go, I might be feeling better because I'm actually getting enough sleep, you know, there may be a decent relationship to that.
Yes.
Or there may be a good relationship to, you know, eating right and healthily and smaller, you know, more frequent meals, blah, 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 blah. So, here's one other thing that it does that I kind of like too, and it works well for driving, incidentally, which I wasn't thinking would be.
Driving.
You can set the device, the way it wakes you up, right, is it vibrates, goes bzzz, and vibrates on your wrists just a little bit, and that is enough to wake you up. when you're using the wake me up at the appropriate sleep cycle time. You also can set the device to buzz you like that when you're idle for a certain amount of time. So like if you're working at your desk, you can say, well, every 30 minutes, if I haven't moved around or done something, and buzz me. Right. It's like, oh, OK, I should maybe get up and walk around, or maybe I can't because I'm doing stuff. And what I've also found is that while you're driving, that's actually kind of good to have, too, because you're not up and moving around. But it's something that helps keep attention higher and more aware of your surroundings and more awake, because sometimes on a very long car ride, you know, you're warm. It's quiet.
It's quiet.
Yes.
No.
Oh. Sometimes it is. Oh, well, you know, sometimes.
Play a podcast, listen to some tunes. By the way, my podcast behaviors have changed over the last month.
Oh?
Yes. A couple of the ones that I was really into have ceased to exist. And so that's reduced the number. And my wife got me an Apple TV for Christmas.
Ah, so cool.
So yes. So now I'm finding... And I just discovered this morning as I was eating breakfast and watching a podcast while eating breakfast that you can kick off on Downcast, which is the podcatcher that I use, stream it over to the Apple TV, and switch the display on the iPad to do other things while the Apple TV stream still goes. So I can actually do my traditional multitasking of... watching a podcast while reading an RSS feed.
Yes.
So I'm back to letting many of them play at regular speed because it's on the big screen, and just reducing the number of podcasts that I'm listening to or watching, focusing them more on, you know, more specific things that I want to focus on too. So it's kind of cool. Really enjoying it.
So part of my day-to-day activities revolve around transformation and change and support of information technology systems on a global basis, which I think a number of our podcast listeners know and understand a little bit about. And I was listening to a podcast while driving. It happened to be Mac Break. And yes. I was listening to... the concept of the Apple television as opposed to the Apple TV hockey puck that you were describing about.
Yes.
And I was listening to how people could imagine how Apple might reinvent television and reinvent it not just in ways that are expected, but in terms of a gaming platform, in terms of making it easier for people to drop in, jump into a game, start to participate, you know, tweet out something on a social network, have someone else notice that, drop what they're doing, pull out their iPhone, connect into that game, and do some fun kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so I took the mental leap, as I am wont to do. Not like that. Okay. You know, it was in a good direction, you know, as in one bold step forward. And so the bold step forward there was to say, well, if you think about production support, when you've got a problem on a global system, it requires immediate attention to go resolve. And it could take a number of different ways of resolving it. It could be infrastructure elements where hard drives or cards or networking equipment are not functioning. There could be middleware or database or application issues at hand. There could be data inconsistencies or duplications that cause problems. A whole variety of things can happen in a production environment that require humans to take part in the resolution and re-enablement of the business capability going forward. So the thing that struck me was you've played Super Mario Brothers on the Wii before, right?
I think once, yes.
Just once? Okay. Well, I mean, the concept will be similar to almost any of these kind of games where, you know, you're in front of your TV, you're at home, you someone walks in, you hand them a controller, they press a button or two, bloop, they're in the game, they understand the concept of the game already, they know where they are, they know where you are in the game, and they're able to begin to help you achieve the goal, to achieve the quest, to obtain those magical coins that you need to save the princess, to be whatever it might happen to be. This works in World of Warcraft. It works in pretty much almost any single game that you can think of. Now, we've talked about this sort of concept before, but it kind of hit home again for me after listening to the re-envisioning, the Gedanken experiment, I think is what they called it on the show, of what an Apple TV might be like. And the thing that struck me was, is okay, well, when you're faced with a problem in production and you need to have the right level of skills applied to it pretty directly, you don't want to take a lot of time to re-explain the problem. You know, I'm thinking Deep Space Nine. What is the nature of the problem?
What is the nature of your medical emergency?
So you don't want to take a lot of time to explain that. You want the people there. You want them knowledgeable. You want them being able to act in concert and directly. You want to recognize that if the nature of the emergency is a fire on 5th and Broad Street and you need to send emergency vehicles there, you want to get your fire there. You want to get your police for crowd control. You may need to get ambulance there for emergency medical services. You want to make sure you're using your resources in the optimal way and positioning them in the proper places and spaces and having the right control elements for the people who know what's going on so that the right things are at the right places in the right amounts, and that you're able to say, okay, the fire is out now. We still need to cordon off the area. We've got to get the injured out. We've got to clean up the environment afterwards, but we don't need the people who do damage control to arrive until after the fire is contained, for example, because they're just going to get in the way.
And we need to make sure that we have the investigation group in to see if it was arson.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. So you, all of these different roles and skills and capabilities, when you think about it from an emergency like that, you know, and you can envision very clearly a cityscape, you know, you've seen this in movies before, you know, the person slides down the fire pole, they look at the map that's on the wall, they see the red light blinking where the fire is, they know exactly where to go, they have the equipment that they need to resolve the problem, boom, 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 boom. Gaming technology is really, really, really good at figuring those kind of things out in the heat of the moment. And we know, and this is why I'm so sad that Phaedra's not here with us today, because I'm sure she'd be going like, that's exactly what we're talking about when we're talking to various governmental entities, because that's exactly the sort of things that they're looking at doing too. So where I'm going with all this, Michael, is that this feels to me like so many of the elements coming together in terms of skills, in terms of capabilities, in terms of right amounts, and in terms of planning going forward. Because let's do a little time dilation on this for a moment, right? If you know at the moment that the fire is contained is when you need to be ordering up those services that'll begin to do the cleanup work as well as the investigation work, and you want them to arrive no later than the golden hour after the environmental challenge has happened, you know, you need to know when those moments are, predict when that containment is going to happen, and time the just-in-time delivery of those skills and services to the environment to be able to perform their task in the optimal way with the optimal skill at the least possible cost. These are problems that we know how to solve, and we need the right level of interfaces to be able to understand the nature of those medical or other emergencies, and we need to be able to deliver them very, very quickly. So your thoughts.
Well, so I'm trying to make the leap from the gaming aspect tied into a large screen entertainment device. I think what you described to me is a set of predictive sensors that allow you to take data from many, 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 many different sources. It could be from the amount of water coming out of the fire hydrant. It could be from certain chemicals coming out of the fire engine. It could be from certain keywords coming across on the radio for the police or the EMTs, etc. Just it's a big data problem. I hate to use that phrase, but I'll use it anyway. Sure. In the sense of taking huge, huge amounts of data and distilling it down to predict with a level of confidence that certain events are likely to occur at certain times. And, you know, there's lots of different things in this space. The really interesting part that you described to me is the structure of the event, in this case, a large fire, right, would have certain key defined elements and events, lesser predictable events, so a production outage of a communication line in a complex computer network would have a completely different set of predictable events, and each of those predictable events would then trigger collection, analysis, and prediction of certain data and other events, is how I interpreted this. I think the part that you mentioned, but I didn't, to be honest, I'm trying to catch the lines here, is right. The gaming aspect where you show up and you know what to do, right? So, well, so how do you very quickly describe the relevant data elements and events slash behaviors so that a newcomer who shows up at the predicted time of the golden hour that the fire is contained enough where some of the cleanup can start, as an example, that they are then easily able to consume that information. I can see, obviously, you know, three-dimensional maps and images with certain data tagged and displayed at key elements and locations on the map or images. So I'm just kind of thinking this one out loud.
Yeah, no, you've got it, and I kind of went a little bit more data analytic in toward the end, but to me, that the start point was the ability to visualize the problem in a way that you know what the problem is as you arrive on the site, and for the people that are managing the resolution of the problem to have at their disposal an understanding of what the field looks like, you know. Are we short police officers? Are we short fire department personnel? You know, if I spring forward in time a bit, I know I'm going to need more help. You know, what can I do right now to start lining that up so that they're ready and available at when I need them?
Yeah, so, I'm thinking that, you know, there are some interesting technologies, and if, you know, even though people have been dogging, I guess is the right phrase, the success or lack thereof success of the Apple Maps technology. But you have Apple Maps, you have Google Maps, ones that will dynamically render 3D visualizations,
yep,
of 2D data. And there's a bunch of different technologies and companies that do this type of stuff. But I can see how that could play in, obviously, in here quite nicely.
Yes.
As a way of describing the scene. I see it more in a physical emergency than in a system outage, right? A technical system outage that's potentially caused by electronics or software, right?
Well, I used an example of a physical environment because I thought it had broader understandability for our listening audience. But where I was applying this mentally was on some of the challenges that we faced, you know.
Yeah, day-to-day working operations. Challenges and yeah. Operations. But for most of those challenges, and you and I talked about this, and we actually did some work on this years ago around architecture visualization, right?
Yep.
And how you could expose the physical architecture, the data architecture, and the application architecture using 3D visualization. That tying into this discussion would be a good way of visualizing where a problem could be. I'm not sure, and you know, we've had 10 minutes discussion on this, right?
Sure.
I'm not sure I could resolve the how do you make sure that a newcomer who just walks up realizes that the problem on this communication line,
yep,
between these two systems is not a physical disconnect, right? As well as there have been no software changes in the last 6 months, so it's probably not a code issue, but we are constantly tweaking and manipulating configuration settings on the TCP/IP stack. I'm making that up, right?
Yeah.
So that the newcomer would know immediately to focus on configuration of the TCP/IP stack and not worry about, well, did you plug it in, right?
Sure.
But no, sure. I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting perspective. And as a matter of fact, if you remember the paper that I wrote on virtual colocation, had a lot of these ideas in it. And the ability to visualize, and we talked about ghost mode, right? Come mm-hmm. back and have it play forward the events that have happened up to this point in time, so that you could catch up and get additional information that may not be there with the static view, right? So I can imagine in that break fix troubleshooting scenario, that the TCP/IP expert comes up and quickly does, you know, playing at 3x speed the last 3 hours worth of troubleshooting meetings that have been going on.
Right. And get it a chance to look at a wiki or a chat log or a series of forum posts or whatever the communications mechanism is to figure out, you know, best of where they are. Because
exactly.
Situations like this, you don't want to have 20 people showing up at different interims and saying, what is the nature of your medical emergency?
Right. And you know, it's one of those things, and it's one of the reasons I wrote Wasted Time, my iPhone and Android app, is because, you know, it really drives me nuts. In any time of meeting, not just an emergency situation, the people that come late, and there's a great YouTube video on this about... okay, let's get started. This is a really important meeting. We have a lot to discuss, and we'll go right into it. Beep, beep. Okay, so who just joined? Oh, John. Yeah. John, well, this is a really important meeting. We got a lot to discuss. We're going to get right into it, and let's get started. So we were talking about the agenda. Beep, beep. Yes? Who joined? Okay, so this is a really important meeting. We got a lot to discuss. Got a lot of important people. John joined late, and we're going to jump right into it, right? And you get into this situation where you just... Continually waste time, and you run out of time. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that certainly fits for scheduled meetings, but in emergency situations, the what can happen more frequently than others might be is like, well, you know, oh, this is a fire. Oh my goodness, this is not just any fire; it's a chemical fire. I need a chemical fire specialist. Let me go find them now, so we don't make it worse by putting water on it.
Right. And so, how do you get that information readily available for the person who just walked in without going the 30-minute recap?
Can we just put this water on here? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I mean, what jazzed me about all this was if you think about the game interface and you think jazz hands and you think about the way of someone walking into a game as complex as World of Warcraft, as simple as, you know, as Super Mario, you hand them a controller, they've jumped into the environment, they're able to assess very quickly, you know, where they are, what the objectives and goals are, who's on their team, who isn't on their team, and how they can progress toward the goal that they're signed up to do. All this applies in my mind very nicely to solving these kind of complex problems. And then like with the ghost mode, you know, another angle there is not only the playback good to figure out, okay, what have we learned up until this point? Okay, now we can act on it very well.
But also the roll forward.
you can roll it all the way back and then roll it forward and say, okay, where did we make lapses in judgment? Where did we make a mistake? If we knew what we knew at time 7, at time 3, how would we have branched in a different direction and had a speedier recovery with less damage, less loss, less?
And it's why people post videos of their raiding parties on World of Warcraft on YouTube. So they can go back and review those, goes, oh man, there's when Jenkins came in. And I can't remember the guy's first name, but there's a famous World of Warcraft video, something Jenkins. This guy goes into this one place.
And he goes and runs in there and starts everything off.
Kicks off, you know, 100 bosses come out and just kick everybody's butt because he came in and goes, something Jenkins.
I remember seeing that too. That was pretty funny.
There's actually an in-game award that you can get if you can achieve that battle and win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've actually done it on a couple of my characters.
very cool.
What you do is you go in at you know, 20 levels higher than you're supposed to be. But it's pretty funny.
Well, so hopefully this was an entertaining and thought-provoking conversation for you, Michael. I was saving it especially to be live and fresh for you for this podcast.
Excellent. And for our listeners. And for our listeners. And, you know, our listeners who want to join the conversation can come over to our blog at gamesatwork.biz and post comments on this episode, which will be episode, what is it, 32?
32. Ten short of the answer.
Yes. Or, you know, follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz, or our Google Plus page. I think it's the same thing. Or our Twitter account at gamesatwork_biz. And I know
how about our Pandora? We have a Pandora stream?
No, we do have a Stitcher radio channel.
Spotify.
We are not on Spotify. we do have.
We're not on Instagram.
Oh, what was
either.
The one that we did recently? The Storify.
Storify.
We probably will not have very many tags in, or not tags, but links in this week's show. Maybe just to Fitocracy, and the Jenkins video. But we want to hear back from you. And we look forward to an exciting 2013 playing games at work. Yep, did I lose you?
I was at a loss for words. I was going to say Absasmurfly, but I thought, nah, that's probably not a good way to end the show. But Absasmurfly.
Absasmurfalutely. You guys have a great time, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Yep, bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.